Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio SmackDown Report, a special Black Friday edition for all of you people who got up at about 4 in the morning and are now just making your way home to plop on the couch in exhaustion with your goods intact. Joining us here to talk about this week's SmackDown at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to talk to us live. And of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, I had said on the Raw report that SmackDown could not be worse than Raw. Raw this week jumped the shark as far as being a bad product. And I was right. SmackDown was not as bad as Raw, but it was damn close enough. It was damn close enough. I don't know what's going on in the WWE. Somebody please tell me. What the hell is going on? But you know what I find interesting? A fan sent me a link to Taz, who has finally woken up, I guess. And I stopped listening to Taz because he's all, you don't know the business. You don't know nothing about the business. If you haven't been in the business 100 years, you don't know the business. Everybody stop talking about the business unless your name is Taz. Taz has finally woken up. He said, you know, I watched SmackDown as a fan, and now I understand. Now I understand why the fans are so upset. Now I understand why all the times that I laughed at the fans and said, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Maybe we were wrong. Because I don't consider myself a mark, and I am upset. I am very upset with what I sat through. Huh? Hey, Taz, welcome to fandom with the rest of us. Thanks for joining us. Now you know what we've dealt with, but not to this level, though. Now, before we get into the details of SmackDown, let me just tell you briefly why this show sucked. Coming off of a humiliating 6-1 or 6-0 loss, whichever one you choose to believe, at the Survivor Series, SmackDown had the obligation to its fans to address the issue. SmackDown had the obligation to the people who said, we think this is bullshit. Why did they do this? And then they threw it away. People, you know, the smart fans were saying, oh, it's because they wanted Baron Corbin to be the permanent general manager. And then that was even nixed on Monday night. So fans are tuning in expecting, okay, Shane McMahon is going to address this. The SmackDown roster is going to address this. Someone's going to come out and be a spokesman for them and say, look, we are not a second banana show. We are not Raw's poorer cousin. No. Nothing happened. Nothing at all. It's an absurdity. It's an absurdity that this brand supposedly lost 6-0 and then didn't even address the issue. Like, oh, big deal, we lost. Oh, we got swept. Eh. On to the turkey fight. It's unbelievable. It's so unbelievable that it's going to make my head explode. It really is. It's almost impossible to be a WWE fan because they go out of their way to make sure if you are, they spit on you. I don't get it. So every fan that tuned in, and by the way, Shane McMahon tweeted, oh, there's going to be some big shakeups here. Well, I'm going to address this issue tonight. No, you didn't. Nobody did. Except the announcers. So I get this link to Taz's show, and Taz is blowing a fuse. And everything he says is correct, by the way. But what's ironic about this is, here's Taz, former professional wrestler, screaming his head off saying, this is outrageous! Now I know why the fans are so upset. I'm not a mark, and this is wrong. This is idiotic. Yeah. So, in essence, Taz, what you're saying is the fans were right all along, and you were a big bloated idiot who said, if you don't know, if you haven't been in the business, you can't judge it. Well, guess what? We judged it, and we were right. This is abysmal. It's almost like they just put a happy face on this and said, don't mention that you got swept. Don't come out here with your, you know, tail between your legs, or don't come out here with fire in your belly and say, we let our fans down. That's never going to happen again. There's going to be big changes here. There's going to be, you know, hell to pay. Heads are going to roll for this. No. Some fans thought, well, this is the beginning of Shane McMahon's heel turn. He's going to be mad at the roster. No. No, everybody just business as usual. It's absurd. And highly disappointing. So Charlotte Flair comes out, and apparently because Becky Lynch is concussed, and there is no timeline for her return, they have just decided, oh, well, we'll just make Charlotte Flair Becky Lynch. Here's the trouble with that. Charlotte Flair sucks at being Becky Lynch. She does not come across as some kind of an ass-kicking, tough girl, you know, caution to the wind type person. She comes off as the daughter of Ric Flair, who's supposed to be conniving and planning and an athletic powerhouse, but at the same time, not out of control. She's not a barroom brawler. Tries to be. So she comes out and says, well, I did what I did for the SmackDown roster and for Becky Lynch. Okay. Well, then there goes the heel turn. So, okay, she's not a heel. She's just Becky Lynch with blonde hair. But then comes the mind-blowing thing. Paige comes out and says, well, I think we can speak for everybody when we say we're very appreciative of what you did for SmackDown. And so let me get this straight. You're appreciative that she lost the match intentionally because she lost her temper. You're appreciative that she put a chair around Ronda Rousey's neck and tried to break it. However, you touched a referee, so therefore you're going to be fined $100,000. When they said $100,000, I actually laughed out loud. Why didn't you say $100 million? Why didn't you say, you know, your third born child, $100,000? But then, to add insult to injury, the Iconics come out and say, well, we'll take the $100,000. I don't even know what the hell that's supposed to mean. Who sent the Iconics out to say they'll take the $100,000? Are they suddenly the board of directors in SmackDown? Because the last time I checked, they weren't. And the minute the Iconics come out, you have already sealed Charlotte Flair's fate as she's not a heel. So for some reason, the Iconics think that they deserve the benefits of the fine that was levied against Charlotte Flair, which makes absolutely no sense. Whoever wrote it is an idiot. All they had to do is come out and say, well, we told Becky Lynch she should have picked one of us. We wouldn't have gotten disqualified and lost the match, and we'd have had SmackDown at least win a match. No, they want the $100,000. Charlotte says, how about a match instead? And then they both look like they're totally afraid of Charlotte Flair, which is odd because they fought her three or four times apiece. Suddenly they're afraid of this new Charlotte Flair. Oh, no. We never in a million years dreamed when we walked down to this rampway with our gear on that somebody would challenge us to a match. Why don't you just shoot us if that's what you want to do, WWE? Don't kill us slowly with nonsense. Just shoot us. Just bring somebody out to shoot all the fans. Because this is poison. So we get the Iconics. The first one jobs out, no problem. Gets her ass kicked. But that's not good enough because SmackDown has nothing planned, so we can have Charlotte Flair fight half the night. And the second one gets in. Now, to their credit, they don't have the second one get pinned because, I mean, at this point, the Iconics are James Ellsworth, you know, the female version. They've beaten no one. They're going nowhere. They get their asses kicked on a regular basis. They're just jabrones. And they have far too much talent to be jabrones, so this is just aggravating. It's damn aggravating. And then the WWE tease, well, wait a minute, they're both teaming up on Charlotte. Perhaps Becky Lynch is going to make a run. And so everybody starts chanting Becky Lynch because that's what you're conditioned to do when a face is getting stomped by a heel, by two heels. But no, the WWE has no intention of giving you Becky Lynch, nor do they care that they teased it. Let's see if we can make them chant Becky Lynch and then not bring her out. Because Charlotte don't need her, because then she beat them both at the same time, holding one's head in each hand and pounding them into the announcer's table, which I would love. Brock Lesnar could not do it. Try shoving somebody's head into something they don't want to go, let alone two of them at the same time. If they're that unconscious, they would have fell down. You want to talk about an awful start to a show. I'm screaming at my TV because all Charlotte Flair had to do was to come out there and say, if she's going to be a face, come out and say, the only regret I have is that my temper cost SmackDown a match. It wasn't for lack of talent that SmackDown lost our match. I had Ronda Rousey beat. But I had to make a decision, and the decision was, do I teach her a lesson? Or do I want this one victory? And I decided to teach her a lesson because I thought that's what Becky would do. I thought that's what SmackDown fans would want me to do, and that's what I did. And then if you want the Iconics to come down, fine, but then have them say, well, that's where you're wrong. You could have got us a win, and you didn't, and that's why we wanted Becky to choose us, and you're just a selfish whatever, and then that's fine. Instead, no, they're coming down to officially take Charlotte Flair's $100,000 fine. And they're shocked and amazed that anyone would want a match with them when they're in their ring gear. And if anyone is going through the motions here, is Paige. She's like? She's like the Steven Seagal of wrestling, where you just read your lines off the back of your hand. Because you hit a referee, I have no choice but to fine you $100,000. Same expression on her face. Paige has one expression. Confusion. This is getting bad, folks. I mean, this is not just a little bit bad. This is getting sink the ship, head for the lifeboats bad. Mike, this show was off to an abysmal start.
It really was, but I mean, the thing is this wasn't a bounty. This was a fine. It's not a bounty. You can't come out and say if it was somebody like we've all seen in the old time wrestling where one guy says, I'm going to put a bounty on this guy's head, and somebody comes out and says, okay, I'll take that bounty. This wasn't that. This was a fine. You can't say you can't come out. I mean, you're making these girls look like idiots by doing this. It's not their fault that they have to say this stuff. It's the writer's fault.
No, it's not. It's just so bad. It's so bad, I was actually laughing. At certain points, I'm actually laughing because I'm saying, this is like watching a high school play where everybody forgot their lines. And even if they didn't forget their lines, it was also written by somebody from high school who doesn't know how to write. It's so aggravating to watch a billion-dollar company not be able to employ someone who can write. Anyone ever think in a million years that it was a good idea? I want to find the idiot, the moron, the slackjaw, who said, we'll send the Iconics out to say they want the $100,000. And nobody raised their hand and say, why in the fuck would they think they're entitled to $100,000? How about we just send them out to make fun of the fact that Charlotte Flair flipped her lid and cost SmackDown a match, because then it would look at least like the Iconics cared. That SmackDown was bitch slapped all over the place. Nope, can't think of that. How about Paige doesn't come out with a smile on her face? How about Paige comes out and says, yeah, well, look, I know why you did what you did. And you know what? Maybe a lot of these people agree with what you did. But I don't, because it cost SmackDown a match, one we could have very, very much used. No, she's fine with it. Oh, you're a hero. You're wonderful. You're sensational. I give up. I just give up because I just don't know what more to do. The problem is very simple. You have chimpanzees writing. You have a group of people who they throw bananas to, apparently, and crayons, and they scribble something in their own feces, maybe, on a piece of paper, and then that's passed to Vince, who says, I love it. Well, then I don't know. Once again, no Rusev. I guess he's on the outs. We're going to have a lot more on some very big breaking news on Sunday. You need to join us on Sunday. Because for a long time now, I have told the world the WWE is ripe for getting taken over. And everyone, 90% of people, have laughed at me and said, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Well, I have some news. Late 2019, it's going to start to happen. And we'll have some news on that. Anyway, look, the bottom line of the situation is, SmackDown is off to such a bad start. I said, well, okay, they got the crap out of the way. At least Shane has promised to come out here and, you know, really hold people's feet to the fire. So I'm looking forward to that. Here's what we get. The Miz, who has no idea whether he should come out and play heel or face. See, they've not told the Miz what to do. They've said, oh, you got to tone down your heel thing because we're going to flip your face, but you're still not a face. So he's going in this tweener thing, which he's not good at. And he's balancing up and down between I'm a coward and I love the audience. And it's just, I don't know, the poor man. If anybody can pull it off, it's the Miz, who's fantastic. But he's having a hard time because even he doesn't know exactly what direction they want his character. And he kisses Shane McMahon's ass and says, this is the man who battled the hardest and he did this and blah and blah and blah and blah. Out comes Shane. To his credit, he's selling that he's beat up and he's not dancing. And I'm saying to myself, here's where we get it. Here's where Shane McMahon says this is unacceptable. SmackDown should not have lost in a clean sweep. Not that they did, but should not have lost in a clean sweep. And there's going to be big changes made here. No. Shane gets in with a big smile on his face and says, well, yeah, I did my best. And the Miz kind of indicates, well, we did this and we did that. To which Shane says, well, I don't know about the we part, but I remember, you know, being the last guy in the ring. And yeah, I know. You're the last guy in the ring because you're the greatest in the world. You won the trophy, right? Then The Miz says, well, what we really need to be is a tag team, because, of course, The Miz should be so interested in tag team wrestling. That should be The Miz's ultimate dream, is I think I want to be a tag team champion. What happened to The Miz wanting to be the heavyweight champion? What happened to The Miz wanting to be the U.S. champion? No, now he wants to be the tag team champion. And he wants Shane, to be his partner. So badly, he's practically begging him. And then they bring out the Bryant brothers, which is just, you know, enhancement talent. They couldn't have got two guys smaller if they tried. They're 15 pounds away from being a midget wrestler. And to add insult to injury, The Miz loses. He loses on a wrap-up to a guy you never heard of. So what does that now tell this crowd? Not only has SmackDown lost 6-0, but now they're dropping matches to enhancement talent. Their top guys are dropping matches to enhancement talent. Are you trying to just destroy SmackDown totally? Two of our women's competitors lost to one single girl on the same night and then collectively together got their asses kicked because they're obviously no good. They're jabrons. Then The Miz, who is one of your top guys, no, he's also a jabron who loses to enhancement talent. Let's humiliate The Miz. Let's humiliate the Iconics. So now what have we got? We've got The Miz humiliated. I understand what the gimmick is, that he's so anxious to tag with Shane. He's trying to get Shane in the ring, and Shane won't get in the ring, and he gets surprised. No, no good. This is still enhancement talent. If you want to do that, bring out a tag team. Bring out a legit tag team. Bring out somebody who could use the win. The Bryant brothers don't need the win. This was done basically to humiliate The Miz, and you did. So, okay, congratulations. Now The Miz looks like a guy who's very, 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 very easily beaten in his hometown or his kayfabe hometown. So, Todd, I mean, we're off to just an abysmal start here on SmackDown.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they brought some enhancing talent, like local guys we never seen or heard of before. And they should bring out like a legit tag team, like from the WWE, like WWE tag teams, like a Jabroni or a Jobber tag team. But they brought this enhancing talent, and it's mixed up there, like confusing.
It's not only confusing, Mike. It's really humiliating to The Miz. I mean, you got The Miz to have to go out there and say, here's the gimmick. You're going to lose to these enhancement talent guys because you're too worried about tagging in Shane McMahon and being his buddy when you are one of our top superstars.
Yeah. I mean, thing is this is, first off, I want to address the hometown or kayfabe hometown. This isn't the first time that they have had wrestlers lose in their home. In their hometown or kayfabe hometown, see Bailey, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a modus operandi nowadays for the WWE. But you're absolutely right. He shouldn't have. If you wanted to have him lose, you know, have him lose to, I don't know, have him fight Sanity, but it'll be it'll be Eric Young that gets the roll up. Or something like that, you know.
Right. Anyone. You know what? If you're going to have to suffer that loss anyway, could you at least build a tag team in doing it? Could you at least find a tag team and say they really, you know, kind of need this win? Can't do that. So anyway, we go to the New Day versus the tag team champions, The Bar. And of course, with the Big Show. And here's the deal. The Bar has just come off a loss to AOP, who then promptly got rolled up in 3 minutes. 3 minutes by Rude and Gable. So the Bar already looked like incompetent assholes. Rude and Gable had no problem beating AOP, but of course the Bar can't do it, and they're the tag team champions of SmackDown. So you would think they want to rehab the Bar a little bit and say, look, we've sort of undermined the Bar. They lost, and then Gable and Rude won. We got to make the Bar look tough. So to their credit, they come out and say, look, we were distracted when Drake Maverick pissed his pants. That's not going to happen again. And we then literally are subjected to having our tag team champions. Now, I want to explain something to you. When Sheamus first came into this federation, he was taken very seriously. And he has now gotten to the level where his lot in life is, yes, you're the tag team champions, but you're going to be beaten up by a man with a turkey on his fist who shoved his hand up a turkey's ass, basically, and then beat you around the face and shoulders with it. But that's okay, because you're not even the worst of the bunch. Cesaro is going to be standing in the middle of the ring and get cranberry sauce and pies and all kinds of other food thrown on him until he just falls down like it's a Three Stooges cartoon. Just pratfalls. Because this is your tag team champions. If you hate SmackDown this badly, get rid of it. Get rid of the brand split then. Because what you're doing now is you are making Raw look like all the good people are over there and the guys. How come Raw didn't have one of those matches? It's only 1 day difference. Oh, because everybody on Raw is too serious to have that kind of a match. Let Sheamus get hit with a turkey on Big E's fist. Let Cesaro eat 9 pies to the face, like he's in a vaudeville act, and then get beaten on top of it because, of course, your tag team champions are garbage. So, okay, let's get this straight. Two of your top women's division competitors, who are probably two of the best on the microphone, they're garbage. They can't beat Charlotte Flair collectively, individually, nor collectively. They are no match for Charlotte Flair. Gotcha. They're jabrons. No reason to care about them, folks. They're jabrons. The Miz, former WWE champion, Intercontinental champion, all kinds of championships. He's a jabron. He can't keep his head in the game enough to not get wrapped up by two guys called the Bryant Brothers who don't outweigh Meade collectively. He's a jabron. No need to care about The Miz. He's a jabron. Here come your tag team champions. No need to care about them. They're the Three Stooges, Larry, Moe, and Curly. One goes through a table filled with cranberry sauce. The other one gets beaten to death by a turkey. And the third one gets pies in the face until he falls down. Like some 1940s vaudeville act going horribly wrong. Those are your tag team champions, okay? That's not some jabron team. That's your tag team champions. Get the message here? SmackDown stinks. That's what we're being led to believe. SmackDown is a B-show. Everyone on it stinks. The top guys, your tag team champions, can't hold a candle to our contenders. That's the message they're sending. Mike, this was abysmal. I mean, they have these type of matches every year. I get it. But, I mean, your tag team champions, could they at least have won?
I guess not. I mean, thing is, I mean, at least one thing that came from this whole situation is terrible. But the one thing that came from this whole situation is, you know, you look at that what happened before the match, the back and forth, and one of the things that was said is, at least we won our match. You know, I mean, you got to give them that. At least they had somebody, you know, somebody say
they
that
cared,
the tag teams won their match, which was the right thing, which in this match was the only right thing they did is allowed.
Except that they didn't win the match. They lost. The Usos won the match, and the Usos weren't out there. We didn't even see the Usos. It was the Usos who were the sole survivors of that match. Yeah, they were in that match, but the Usos were the sole survivors. Where were the Usos? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Then, more insult to injury, Asuka and Naomi take on Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Now, I thought Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville were on the outs. I mean, first off, Mandy Rose drew her out of the women's Royal Rumble there. Then she kind of dissed her when the Survivor Series came. She dissed her during the Survivor Series. There was no reason in the world to think these two were still friends. It appeared to me that Sonya Deville had already made her flip to face. And then they said, nah, never mind. You're friends again. WWE fans, it's not that we don't know. They honestly think we don't care. And guess what? You're right, we don't. And I'll tell you why we don't, because you've given us no reason to care. You've given us no reason to care. Because the story you told with Sonya Deville is she got picked to be on the Survivor Series team and Mandy Rose didn't, so she's automatically a good guy who says, sure, I'll diss my friend to be on the Survivor Series team. You're all my buddies now, right? So I guess that makes me a good girl, right? That's the story you told. That's a terrible story. If you really wanted it the right way, you should have said, look, you know, I'm not coming without my friend. It's me and Mandy or nobody. You don't want us on the team? Then fine. We won't be on the team. And then when it comes right down to it and you need that extra person because of Charlotte, then they could have added her. And it would have looked like, well, I stuck up for my friend, and she don't care because she's a selfish bitch. But no, she's kind of right about this. And how does it make Sonya Deville look like a good guy to just say, well, the good guys wanted me on their side, so bye, Mandy. But that didn't even happen. They're back to being friends, I guess, again. And they lost in quick fashion to Asuka and Naomi. So Naomi, who was humiliated. See, none of these people came out like they were upset. Everybody came out like, oh, well, wiped the slate clean. We lost. Boy, did we lose. Man, did we get our clocks clean. Oh, well, on with the show. Even Shane didn't seem upset. How come Shane didn't come out there and say, look, Miz, I don't know what kind of nonsense you got in your head, but we lost 6-0. At least on the main show. And I'll tell you what I got in my head, major changes. That's what he said he was going to do on Twitter. None of it happened. None of it happened. Todd, this match wasn't nothing special. It was just weird.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was just weird and everything. Pretending like nothing happened after the Survivor Series. Like, nothing happened.
And that's what it was. Like, we don't care. We let our fans down and we don't care. Taz said it right. Where was the payoff? Where was, okay, we planned the Survivor Series this way because on SmackDown, we're going to make a big move. And this is the motivation for that big move. Where was that? It's nowhere. They didn't allow SmackDown to win a match on the main show, and I automatically assumed it has to be one of two reasons. One, they wanted Baron Corbin as the permanent general manager, and that's the stipulation, so they had to go by it. But no, they shot that down Monday night. So then I said, okay, the reason they did that is Shane McMahon is going to come out and start being an oppressive, crazy person who can't take the fact he lost to his sister's brand, and he's going to be a nut. No, that didn't happen either. He came out all smiles and happy, and he's a nice guy. Now, he's eventually going to turn heel, but this was the night when we should have had it start. He should have come out saying, what happened here is unacceptable. And the fans deserve better. And I know we have pumpkin pie matches and all kinds of crap matches tonight. Let me tell you something. The change is happening. You guys are literally fighting for your jobs. Nope. Couldn't care less. Come out. No, well, if I could dance, if my body let me dance, I'd do the little shuffle dance, but I'm banged up so I can't. But he's not banged up enough so he doesn't accept a wrestling match, even though he didn't do anything. Again, just nonsensical writing. Just nonsensical writing. Then Daniel Bryan comes out, and I'm really looking forward to this. And he's gotten rave reviews on this, and I have said on this show, and I'll stand by it, the reason I like Daniel Bryan is not so much because of his wrestling, it's because when Daniel Bryan says something, it's very believable. When him and The Miz would exchange their insults and things, I really felt like Daniel Bryan was saying what was on his mind. Because I would say to myself, yeah, that's what I would say. Yeah, that's exactly what I would bring up. It looked very natural. It flowed very well. And you never thought that anything between The Miz and Daniel Bryan was scripted, at least their interchanges verbally. Daniel Bryan was always great at selling himself that way. He's the everyman because, yes, everything he says, you say, yeah, that's what I would have said. That's how I would feel. Well, you can throw that out the window now, can't you? Because Daniel Bryan comes out like he's Anthony Perkins from Psycho. He's talking about himself in the third party. Daniel Bryan didn't need to beat Brock Lesnar. Really? Well, why would that be Daniel Bryan? Why didn't Daniel Bryan need to beat Brock Lesnar and solidify himself? Please. Daniel Bryan is sick of the... I just can't, because you've ruined a great character now. He's ruined. I didn't need him to come out and talk in third party. I didn't need him to come out and say, my dreams told me I didn't need to beat Brock Lesnar. No. I needed Daniel Bryan to come out and be an honest Daniel Bryan, like he always was, so that I could feel like, well... It's twisted motivation, but I believe he believes it. Instead, I got a cartoon character. Daniel Bryan needed to come out there and say, look, when I got back from my injury, you guys had already, let's face it, you gave me a great ovation, but then I started losing, didn't I? Because maybe I was ring rusty. Maybe I needed some time. I wasn't doing very well. I get in there against The Miz, who's done nothing but spit on people his whole career, and you guys are 50-50. And I began to realize, I can't wrestle for you because you're so fickle, you don't know what you want. I have to wrestle for me. And I went in there with one mission on the Survivor Series, and that is to survive Brock Lesnar because nobody else has. And I'm a third his size. And not only did I survive Brock Lesnar, but I came this close to beating him. Only reason I didn't is because I just didn't have enough time to prepare. I almost beat Brock Lesnar with zero time to prepare. If I'd have had as long a time as some of these people had to prepare, I would have destroyed Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar knows it. And so does Paul Heyman. That way, at least, Daniel Bryan, you would have said, well, that makes sense. Instead, he's talking in third party, and he says, my dreams tell me what to do. I forget it. It's a very disinteresting character. And by the way, I ain't buying it. And that's the one thing about Daniel Bryan that I liked is everything he said I bought. Sounded real, sounded great, totally convincing. This was not totally convincing. This is Daniel Bryan acting in a movie and not doing a great job. So that's what we get from Daniel Bryan is he's now talking about himself in third party. And he says, this is the new Daniel Bryan. How about if he just goes to his real name? How about if he just says, you know what? My name's Bryan Danielson. And from this point on, that's me. Daniel Bryan's dead. Instead, he says the Yes Movement's dead because he doesn't want fans cheering for him. He should have said Daniel Bryan is dead. But no. Oh, and by the way, is AJ Styles there to confront him in any way, shape, or form? No. I don't get that, Mike. I just didn't buy it at all.
I didn't buy it at all either. Look, several things here. One, only The Rock can get away with talking about himself in the third person. That's that. And there are very few people that can get away with the Anthony Perkins type of character, and one of them is Bray Wyatt, and the other one possibly is Eric Young, you know, that type of character. So, and it's not Daniel Bryan. And look, furthermore, if you wanted to go that way, the way you say it with Daniel Bryan is dead, fine. Come out with your beard cut off and your hair cut and say, I'm Bryan Danielson.
Right. That would have made an impact, at least. Yeah. That would have made a much bigger impact, Todd. The way it is now, the problem is I'm disappointed because Daniel Bryan was that one wrestler that when he cut a promo, I believed everything he said was true. I could easily suspend my disbelief and say, yes, I believe this. Because he was that natural with his delivery. And, of course, this week, that's all changed.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, he should have used his real name as Bryan Danielson, and Mike's right. He should have cut his hair and shave his face. This is me as Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, that would have been much better because then you would have believed. Okay, he's a new guy, new whatever. It just now the dark match, by the way, for the benefit of people who don't know, sometimes at the end of the TV shows, they have a dark match so the audience will stay to the end. And it was The Miz versus Daniel Bryan. The Miz, 100% face. 100% face by The Miz on the dark match. And guess what? He wins. But he wins by DQ because Daniel Bryan kicks him in the nuts, which is now the WWE's go-to move. everybody gets kicked or hit in the nuts every week. It's like an episode of South Park. The WWE has become an episode of South Park. If it's not Shinsuke Nakamura nutting you, it's Daniel Bryan nutting you, it's somebody else nutting you. What is the obsession with kicking people in the nuts? It's a joke. Just lazy bullshit writing. That's what it is. Just lazy. So then we get Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio. And if there's one saving grace in SmackDown, this was a pretty good match. But I still say that Rey Mysterio, probably through no fault of his own, because it's what he's being told to do, Rey Mysterio's matches are all the same. Run around, do a few moves, get the guy across the ropes and try to do the 619. You're not successful the first time, but you keep trying to do it. That gets boring after a while. And Rey Mysterio is not a boring wrestler. But the way his matches are all planned out, it's getting boring. Now, the RKO after the baseball slide on the outside of the ring was pretty cool. It wasn't perfectly done, but it's as good as you could get it really done. And the idea that he's trying to take his mask off is pretty good, except he should have literally done it earlier. Or not when it was ripped and it looked like it fell off. See, because if it looks like it fell off, and then Randy Orton takes it, it almost looks like, well, he capitalized on an accident. Ray's mask fell off after being stretched and torn, and then Randy Orton took it. As opposed to, no, Randy Orton took it. Unlaced it, ripped it off his face, took it. There's more heat involved that way. Now, I don't know where they're going with Randy Orton because, again, now we get this 50-50 booking. Rey Mysterio comes in, he beats everyone. Shinsuke Nakamura beaten. Everybody that Rey Mysterio has fought, beaten, including Randy Orton at Crown Jewel. But now, no, Randy Orton wins. So, okay, there's Rey's momentum stopped, and Randy Orton's now continues, but where does Randy Orton's continue to? He's not going to fight Daniel Bryan. We have a major problem in SmackDown. There are no contenders for the tag team belts. Who do you want to fight? What are they going to do? They're just going to keep fighting the bar against the New Day and the Usos forever? Daniel Bryan past AJ Styles. Who does he have? Who's Daniel Bryan going to fight past AJ Styles? Rey Mysterio, who's already lost to Randy Orton now, so it's not like, oh, well, Rey's undefeated and he's going to be fighting Daniel Bryan. The Miz, who's going to be turning, that's probably where it's going to go. The Miz as a face? Wow, come on, man. God damn. This is just bad. It's bad on a lot of levels, but the major level it's bad at isn't the athlete's fault. This is just horrible writing gone way, way, way out of control. You cannot continually write yourself into a corner and then wonder how the hell you got there. Someone has to understand in the WWE that this writing is inadequate. It's suicidal and it's killing you. And I don't care who the writers are. I don't care if it's the Road Dogg. I don't care if it's Stephanie McMahon. I don't care if it's Mick Foley. So I don't care who it is. I'm here to tell you it's not good enough. As a matter of fact, it's not good, period. It's not that it's not good enough. It's not good. And it needs to change, and it needs to change fast. Because if you think for 1 minute that Charlotte Flair is going to replace Becky Lynch being the rough and rugged, ass-kicking, barroom brawler type mentality, you're very wrong. She doesn't do it well. She does the, athletic, devious princess, type thing well. She's no Becky Lynch as far as that's concerned. It's like trying to make It's like trying to make Shawn Michaels Steve Austin. It doesn't work. And leave it to the WWE. Wait a minute. Becky Lynch got over by being, wild, furious, out of control, barroom brawler type. Let's do that to everybody. And maybe everybody will be Becky Lynch. God have mercy. I just don't know how lazy you can be. You don't, at this point in time, you do not deserve our money. I'm telling you, they do not deserve your money because they are not even trying for you. And if they say they are lying. Because no one could be this inept. No one could be this bad. I'll tell you what they're doing. They're getting to the goddamn arena and making it up as they go. And that is as simple as that. It has to be. Because things would not change. When you watch Game of Thrones, when you watch The Walking Dead, when you watch whatever, these episodes are all written. They write the whole season. Or most of it. And they may write, okay, well, wait a minute, we're going to add this, or we're going to, edit this, or whatever. But they have a plan. The WWE obviously has no plan. They're flying on the seat of their pants. They're, what happened this week? Okay, write something. Okay, how about we do this then next week? Oh, the fans didn't like that this week, or we don't know about this guy this well. All right, just write this. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. What I do know is this. They're lying to you on a couple of different levels. One is they're saying, Ronda Rousey's so wonderful and safe, but she's the reason Alexa Bliss is no longer in wrestling and might not ever be in wrestling again. Oh, the Nia Jax thing was a complete accident and accidents happen. No, you don't see someone just haul off and dead punch some square in the face, which is exactly what Lance Storm stepped up to the plate and said against his own people is that, no, that's not true. Anybody who's saying that, they're lying to you. Nia Jax turned around, found her target, and just punched her dead in the face. Now, whether she did it on purpose or not is irrelevant. It still happened. I don't think she did it on purpose. But it just goes to show you how poorly trained she is. And now this has cost us probably Alexa Bliss, maybe forever. And we don't know about Becky Lynch. Could be a month. Could be next week. Could be never. It's just not acceptable. This is what you get when you fly by the seat of your pants. This is what you get when you say, well, I don't care if they have the skills, they have the look, and I want them up here. Or they have the name recognition, and I want them up here. But you can't keep shitting on your fans like this. When someone like Taz, who's always had the attitude that the fans know nothing because they're not in-ring competitors, literally says, I'm dumbfounded. The fans are right. This is garbage. There is no reason. There is no excuse for any of this. And that's what he said. Then you know things are going horribly wrong. And again, a maniac in the chat room saying, yeah, NXT has good stuff every week, so what's the deal? Yeah, you're right. And I don't know how long everybody's been listening to the show, but over a year ago, there was a conspiracy theory going around that I wasn't really buying into, but I'm sort of buying into it now. And that conspiracy theory isn't that just, oh, well, Triple H handles NXT and Vince handles Raw and SmackDown, and that's why it sucks. I don't believe that. The conspiracy theory went like this. Triple H knows what Vince kind of wants and doesn't want, and Triple H is purposely trying to undermine the WWE because he knows Vince is not going to live forever. And when Vince does not live forever and it's his ball game, then NXT will be his creation, not Vince's. In other words, Triple H will never have to say, yes, I'm the leader of the WWE, and yes, it's a wonderful company, but I didn't create it. Vince did. And he can go more for the, well, WWE is still there and a viable commodity, but NXT, we're doing it my way, and it's NXT is the main brand, and that's my creation. He wants his creation. His ego is so big, he wants his creation to be the major one. And I think to some extent he does sabotage Raw and SmackDown. I really do. Because I happen to know a lot of moves that I was given the word were Triple H's moves in Raw and SmackDown that are horrible moves. Horrible moves, self-destructive moves, and moves that Vince probably okayed, but, you know, Triple H could have easily said, hold the phone. This is not a good move, and didn't do it. For what reason? The WWE's in big trouble, folks. We have had a Survivor Series that was mind-numbingly brain-dead as far as booking. The matches were good. We have had a Raw that was so inconsequential and boring, it was almost impossible to watch. And we had a SmackDown that looks like a child's play, a child's high school at best play. Just awful. Embarrassingly awful. When I sit on my couch and say, I'm embarrassed, and I'm embarrassed not just for being a fan, but I'm embarrassed for the people in the ring, that's bad. That's bad. This is getting to the point of no return. That's the problem. And you will see in the next, oh, I don't know, couple of months, a lot of contracts are coming up, and the WWE is going to try to lock these contracts in long term, even if they're not going to use them. And the reason they're going to try to lock these contracts in long term is because right around the corner is a federation called AEW, All Elite Wrestling, which will be Cody Rhodes and probably the third or fourth richest man in the world. Backing. I'm talking multi-billionaire. Think Ted Turner on steroids, okay? And if you think that guy does not have the money to compete with the WWE, if that's what he wants to do, guess again, he does. Cody doesn't. I'll reveal the guy's name and his assets and everything on Sunday, but he's a football owner, among other things. And he is extraordinarily wealthy. And the word is that Cody Rhodes and his associates have made inquiries about WWE major stars, WWE's contracts, and when they're up. And a good amount of them have expressed interest. So the WWE is going to start playing hardball now and trying to lock these people into contracts. And you can tell whose contracts are coming up. AJ Styles, Rusev, some of these other people. How about if you lose them? How about if Styles walks? How about if Rusev walks? How about if they decide to pay big bucks to somebody like Ronda Rousey whose contract's up? Or a Brock Lesnar? Where's the WWE? What are they going to do? Who are they going to bring up? Lars Sullivan going to save them? Elias going to save them? I don't think so. The only thing that's going to save them is good writing and building superstars, and they're not doing either one. Daniel Bryan's contract, I don't know what he signed, but I think it's very short term. And if you think he wouldn't like to go work for them, wrong. The WWE is going to be facing some major hurdles here, and they've done it to themselves. Because all they had to do was stay loyal to their fans and say, look, what you fans want, you're going to get. We got our nose to the grindstone here, and we got our ear to the fans' pulse. And we're more than willing to give you the product that you deserve and you ask for. Instead, they shit on you every chance they get. You want this guy pushed? We're not pushing him. As a matter of fact, you won't even see him anymore. You want this guy to be champion? He's going to get squashed by preliminary talent. You want to root for this guy? We're going to turn him heel. You want to boo this guy? We're going to turn him face. We're going to do exactly the opposite of what you want. We're going to serve you a meal, whether you like it or not. Here's your Brussels sprouts. Fucking eat them. And don't you ever dare ask for pizza. Here's your Brussels freaking sprouts. Well, guess what? Eventually, people get sick of eating what you give them and telling them that's what they get, and they go elsewhere. And it wasn't an accident that the All In sold 10,000 plus tickets in a half hour. And it wasn't an accident that Cody Rhodes kissed fans' asses up hill and down. and told them you're the important factor in this thing. We aren't. We're here for you. You're not here for us. We're here for you. That kind of attitude is going to drive fans into the arms of other federations. And if you lose all of your adult, and you've already lost a tremendous chunk to UFC, if you lose the rest of your adult audience to AEW or other places, then the WWE becomes a clown show for 9-year-old children. And I don't know any wrestlers who want to participate in a clown show for 9-year-old children. This is getting serious, folks. It's getting very serious. SmackDown and Raw were the two worst shows back-to-back I've seen in my lifetime as WWE fan. Back-to-back, they're never usually this bad. This was bad. And the only reason I'm not giving SmackDown an F is because it wasn't worse than Raw, and I gave Raw an F. So I'm going to give it a D-minus because it wasn't that much better. Mike, what's your rating?
I'm gonna give it a D, and I'm gonna agree with you. I mean, look, even I'll put it to you this way: even the review show that Impact put on this past week was better than what we got out of Raw and SmackDown, and that's bad. When you're saying a show consisting of nothing but reviewing what's happened in the past is better than something that's happening either live or live to tape, you know, is better than that, you know, and that's what it was. And that's why I'm giving this a thing of the, I liked the New Day match. It was a decent match. I liked Charlotte, you know, and that's another thing. Charlotte, I don't know some of these women on this roster, and we'll get into this, like you said, on Sunday, but some of these women, some of their contracts are coming up, I would assume. And they're going to...
Some of the women are. A lot of the men are. The WWE is going to be facing some challenges here. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with Mike there. D.
This is unacceptable, folks. You deserve better than this. As Maniac says, the network doesn't even have 2 million subs. It doesn't even have 2 million. And about 2 million people turn into Raw and SmackDown every week. So that means some of the people that aren't even subscribed to the WWE Network that regularly watch their programming. It's outrageous. And they're going to start losing subscribers because, quite honestly, people don't need this crap. If this is the best you're going to do, you cannot run down your own product. They're literally running down their own product. They're literally saying, we don't know why you watch SmackDown. It's a bunch of buffoons and secondary athletes. They're terrible. Just watch Raw, where people don't get hit with turkeys and pumpkin pie. Just watch Raw, where people don't get wrapped up by preliminary wrestlers who are champions. It's outrageous. The WWE, it's almost like it's us against them, and I just don't understand that philosophy, folks. This has been a bad, bad week if you're a WWE fan, and I don't really see how they're going to right the ship, because everything that looks like it's on the horizon, it's things we don't want to see. We're looking forward to what for the next 3 months? Matches we don't want to see? We'll be back with a very big show on Sunday. Hope you listen. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.